Today on Come Receive the Light, we're talking about parenting.
What really parenting is about, it's about the long term. It's about what happens to our children in our parenting relationship that is preparing them to go out into the world as Orthodox Christians. Well, that's an 18-year project.
And sometimes a little bit longer. But don't let that discourage you. Actually, the parenting role never ends. And often, the best teachers we have as parents are our children.
Those who don't believe in God try to use science as evidence that God doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. When in reality, all the evidence of science points towards God existing. Especially because God created science. All of existence is proof that God exists. We exist.
And believe me when I say that's just the tip of the iceberg of what you're going to hear from that young man on today's edition of Come Receive the Light. We're a broadcast outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network, and I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. He is the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology and the founder of this ministry. If you're new to the program, I'm so glad you've joined us. You can find out more about the ministry on the web at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And one of the great tools that we offer to you is the ability to share this broadcast with others. When you go to the website, click on the Listen button, and that will open up a number of options for you, including the archives of this broadcast, going back nearly 20 years. Again, the website myocn.net. Well, our feature conversation today is going to cover a brand new book on parenting that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. But first, I think a conversation with probably the youngest guest we've ever had here on Come Receive the Light, William Malus. And placing a call to William and his family a couple of days ago was our host, Father Chris.
William Malus is one outstanding young man. The youngest of three children and the child of a Greek Orthodox priest, William resembles your average 10-year-old in every way except one. William has already graduated from high school and currently attends community college. We've invited William and his dad to be with us today to talk about the gifts that God has given him and how he is planning to use those gifts to God's glory. Welcome, William.
Hello.
Nice to have you on the phone.
Thanks for having me here.
Okay. Let me ask you, I guess it would be a pretty obvious question, but maybe not. When did you realize you were able to understand things better and quicker than the average kid on your block?
Well, I didn't really notice it. It's like having an arm. You don't notice that you had an arm.
Okay.
All of a sudden.
Okay. And then I understand you attend the Community College of Allegheny County, is that correct?
Yes.
And what do you say to people who might think you're too young to go to college?
I don't think there should be an age minimum for acquiring knowledge.
And when did you finish high school, William? Were you homeschooled to do this, or did you go to an actual high school when you did it?
I went to an actual high school.
You gave an encouraging graduation speech, I was told, reflecting on the gifts that God has given you. Some say it's your brilliance, but you say it's the people in your life. You really have an amazing gift of intelligence. So let's ask the obvious question, what are you most grateful for, William?
I am most grateful for my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, because mm-hmm. without them, I probably would never realize my gift.
Now, I understand from doing some of my research on you, because you've done some television interviews as well, that you wanted, what did I write here, that someday you would like to prove that God exists. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
And how would you do that?
Well, you know Albert Einstein, right?
Yes, I've heard of him.
Well, Albert Einstein proposed that the displacement of space-time was the cause of gravity.
I'm following you so far. Go ahead.
If the displacement of space-time is the cause of gravity, then the absence of space-time is pure gravity.
All right.
supermassive black hole. But supermassive black holes are not actually supermassive. They're super non-massive. A spiral galaxy is a vortex, like a hurricane. In the center of a hurricane, you have the eye of the hurricane, right?
Yes.
Well, that's actually caused by the centrifugal force of the spinning vortex, which literally tears a hole in the atmosphere.
Okay, I'm following you so far.
Spiral galaxies are spinning around the center point with all of that mass, stars, planets, etc., so much mass that the centrifugal force that it produces is strong enough to tear a hole in the fabric of space-time. The black hole in the center is actually an absence of space-time, and as I mentioned earlier, the absence of space-time would be pure gravity. Mass is measured by the displacement of space-time as well. So, because it's displacing so much space, it appears to be supermassive. But in reality, it's super non-massive.
I've got you so far. I'm still with you.
This is why nothing can escape its pull.
Okay.
Now let's reverse it. If the entire universe, space, time, matter, energy, all of it, was condensed into a singularity, then what is it sitting in? An absolute void. An absence of space-time. Pure gravity. So, the universe isn't expanding because of dark energy overpowering gravity, but because of gravity. So, the universe isn't expanding into the absolute void, it's falling into the absolute void. Now, the universe has an age. It has been measured to be 13.8 billion years old. This is accepted by all of science. Also, gravity is always working. If you go on the roof and jump off, there's not a 15-minute delay before you start to fall.
Right.
So, if the singularity was always there, and the absolute void, this absence of space-time, was always there, then the universe should have no age. At least, no way to measure it. The universe would be infinitely old. But there is an age. So, if there's an age, there must be a cause. And if there is a cause, then there's a reason. There's a beginning. A point where the singularity, something, comes out of nothing. So, there has to be something other. An outside force of greater mass and greater energy. The other is God. Remember, God is not in the universe, but the universe is in God.
Where did you find this information? This came from your own research, William?
Came from my head.
God bless you, son. God bless you. God bless you. So let me ask you this. What do you hope to do with this gift that God has given you? Because clearly it's a gift, but you're also developing that gift. It's one thing to have a gift and to leave it so that nothing happens with it, but you clearly are doing something with it. What's your plans for the future?
I want to be an astrophysicist so I can study and get a better understanding of God's creation. Because if you don't understand God's creation, then you don't respect it. And if you don't respect God's creation, then you don't respect God.
Why do you think it's important, especially in today's time or today's age, to prove that God exists through science?
Because those who don't believe in God try to use science as evidence that God doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, all the evidence of science points towards God existing. Especially because God created science. All of existence is proof that God exists. We exist.
Let me ask you this, William. Your father has told us that you have a great sense of humor. I can only imagine the type of jokes that go around in your head, but do you have a favorite one?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes is a very bad joke.
Okay, William. Well, look, I hope someday to invite you to Hellenic College in Holy Cross, because I'd like you to speak, come with your dad, your father, and your mother, and visit our campus and share some of these incredible thoughts and the wisdom that you have with our students and with our faculty. I think it would be a magnificent experience. God bless you, young man. I wish you only good things in your life, and I pray that God will be using you as a vessel for good in this world, which needs the youth to push forward that agenda. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thanks for having me.
We will have to stay in touch with William Malus and his family over the months and years ahead and track his progress and just see how the Lord indeed does use him for his glory. You're listening to another edition of Come Receive the Light, a weekly broadcast from the Orthodox Christian Network on the web at myocn.net. When you go to that website, you will find many thought-provoking and inspiring ingredients there. This broadcast, of course, can be listened to again, plus our archives can be reviewed and probed, and you can check out and interact with the bloggers on our blog site, The Sounding, plus listen to our two internet-only 24-hour-a-day, 7 days a week radio stations. All that and much, much more can be found on the website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And please remember, we're a nonprofit outreach and really do depend upon your prayer support and your financial support as we move toward the end of the year. This is such an important time for us to hear from you. Well, we move now to our feature conversation with Dr. Philip Mamalakis. He is the Assistant Professor of Pastoral Care at Hellenic College, Holy Cross, and he has written a new book entitled Parenting Toward the Kingdom. He's in Greece, and Father Chris caught up with him on Skype.
Philip, how are you?
Father Chris, I'm doing great. It's great to speak today.
It is. It certainly is. Let's start out. It sounds like a very exciting book. What inspired the book? That's the first question out of the box.
What inspired a book about Orthodox parenting? Well, I'm one of 12 children, and that was the start of my interest in the church of the home. Mm-hmm. And I looked, and I remember how as a kid I would react differently to different adults. One adult would treat me one way, and I found myself acting in a really compliant and responsible way. And I would have other adults who would treat me in a different way, and I'd find myself reacting defiantly and oppositionally. And I was like, I remember noticing, but that's interesting. With one adult, I'm a really obedient, good kid. Another adult, I'm not so much. And that really stuck with me. And what really inspired the book is noticing in my life and working in ministry how significant it is what happens in the home, and what an impact, what an effect the home has on the identity of a child, the struggles of a child, the challenges, the opportunities when they go out into the world. I said, boy, I really want to work with that in the home, and specifically the way the parents interact with kids. Mm-hmm. That really has a significant, a real deep effect on a child. And I wanted to look more into that, particularly how kind of the daily struggles of life relate to, you know, what the church teaches us about the kingdom of God, about living the sacramental life, about worship. And that was really interesting to me. And I said, boy, there's so much happening in the home there, and there's no real book that talks about, you know, the beautiful truths of Orthodoxy as it relates to getting kids to bed on time or sibling rivalry. So that's what inspired me to do that. Two interesting topics to me.
Okay. Let me ask you then this question. What age range of parenting do you focus on? Because if you are your parents and myself and now you, we've raised more than five kids, six, seven, you
right.
had 12 in your family. I mean, that's a lot of age difference there in parenting, from diapers to FAFSA forms going to college.
Right, right. Well, I thought I wanted to write a book that you could give to a pregnant mother. Mm-hmm. Not a book that, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, but sort of like an owner's manual, a user's manual about this is how kids function, this is how kids think, you know, this helps, you know, to help parents understand as their kids grow up, you know, how kids operate, and then how do I engage with my kids through the struggles so to prepare them for adulthood. So the age range, you know, when kids start, when they're born, you know, they're all instinct. You know, you feed them, you clothe them, they're okay. Once they start, you know, growing up and, you know, making decisions and saying no, that's when this book kicks in. So probably right around the 1 year mark, the toddler age, all the way up through middle school is kind of the target age, you know, those early years of parenting.
You know, we often talk about what it means to be an Orthodox Christian. And I don't know if anyone's really unpacked that in the sense of parenting as an Orthodox Christian principle. So could you sort of help us understand what are those Orthodox principles that we need to embrace here?
You know, and that's the book I chose to approach it as, Principles of Parenting, because you can't really reduce parenting to a series of steps or strategies, but there are some things that are really important to keep in mind and to understand about parenting. First of all, the first principle I have is always parent with the end in mind. And that is, you know, it's so tempting as a parent that I can see my role as a dad is solving a short-term problem. The kids are fighting. I want to get them to stop. The house is noisy. I want to get the house quiet. You know, I tell my kids to do something. Well, they just need to do it. They need to learn to listen. That's all really short-term. What really parenting is about, it's about the long-term. It's about what happens to our children in our parenting relationship that is preparing them to go out into the world as Orthodox Christians. Well, that's an 18-year project. Hmm. And when you think about it, that's 18 years of, you know, getting them to listen and cleaning their room and eating their food. So it's really 18 years of small interactions. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes as parents, we lose sight of the fact that we're on an 18-year trajectory when they're fighting over a toy. It's really important to keep the long term in mind because it allows us to respond in a different way. Mm-hmm. And that response has a huge effect on the child. And the book goes into that detail. The other couple of the principles that I've articulated are to respond, not to react to kids' misbehaviors. Because our temptation is we react. When do we say something? Well, when we get frustrated or, you know, we're fed up with something. We try and be patient because the church teaches us to be patient. We're patient, 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 and then we react. Well, reacting teaches kids something. It's just not very good what it teaches kids. Rather, the principle I want to invite parents to consider is to respond, to learn how to respond to each of our behaviors of our child that has those long-term goals in mind. The third principle is to understand the struggles that kids have in the home in terms of the spiritual life, the values and the virtues of the kingdom of God. For example, you know, people tell us, you know, why do kids misbehave? Well, my kid's just lazy. I got a bad kid. You know, he's too strong-willed. Well, that's one way to interpret their behavior. But when I look at kids, you see that, you know, why is my child having a meltdown? Well, they really want a cookie before dinner. Well, I can understand. But what they really are learning is they're learning self-control. They're learning something like postponed gratification. They're learning, you know, to do the right thing when they're tempted. Well, these are spiritual battles that exist in adulthood that we have lots of literature about, but no one has really tied them into two kids fighting over a toy or I don't want to go pick up my bike after I, you know, use it. Mm-hmm. The daily challenges of kids are actually where they're building the foundations for the spiritual life. So understanding kids' struggles in terms of the values and virtues, separating feelings from behaviors. I can't go into too much detail, but, you know, learning how to respond to a child as a person means, you know, they've got feelings and they've got behaviors, and they need a different response. But one of the real reasons I wrote this parenting book is for the two final principles, and that is teaching the joy of obedience and teaching the joy of repentance. Because in our Orthodox tradition, obedience and repentance are really important. We hear a lot about that. We hear a lot about repentance and we hear a lot about obedience. Well, how does this relate to parenting and in daily life? Well, there's a whole chapter on teaching the joy of obedience, because oftentimes obedience isn't really associated with joy, and teaching the joy of repentance. Because for really the church, obedience and repentance are these beautiful things that bear beautiful fruit. You know, we don't go a day in our home without somebody doing something that they probably need to say, I'm sorry for. Well, in the church, repentance is really about joy, and it leads to joy. So those final two principles are particularly orthodox, and I had never read a book that really conveyed those aspects of our faith in the context of family life. So I said, I really want to do that.
Let's talk for a minute, Philip, about orthodox principles differing from contemporary child rearing, because there are probably a dozen self-help books out there about dealing with parenting, but not from the orthodox perspective.
Well, there are hundreds of parenting books, and that's another reason that I was inspired to write this book, because there are all sorts of experts who give all sorts of expert advice, and a lot of it is contradictory. Is it good to be strict with your kids, or should you let your kids make their own choices? And in reading all these different books, I noticed that a lot of the books had really nice gems in them, really good aspects, but they never quite captured the whole story. So I thought, you know, what I want to do is I want to pull from these books where they are really consistent with what the church reveals and pull the gems out of each one and then put this together with those that piece of obedience and repentance. So the way this book differs in some ways, and I tried to do this, is there are elements of contemporary child development and contemporary parenting that are in the book. Like there are aspects of learning to respond and not react to your children. That's just good parenting. What's missing in the secular material is how that process of learning to respond to your children is intimately connected to my own spiritual life in Christ. So how my ability as a dad to learn to respond appropriately to my child is really an act of sacrifice and love. And it takes self-control and discipline on my part to respond instead of react. And if I want my children to learn to respond instead of react, I need, first and foremost, to learn to respond and not react myself. So we see this modeling as this key aspect of parenting, which is what the church has been teaching for years and which the saints always say, if you want to raise up saints, become a saint yourself. I just unpack that in a lot of detail. And so we take from the secular stuff the best, and we put it within this framework of what we know to be true that's revealed to us about the inner life.
Makes perfect sense. Let me ask you this question. Biggest mistake parents make today? You think there's one out there?
Well, you know, I like to say that the biggest complaint that parents have is that their children don't listen to them. Right? They don't listen when I tell them what they should do. And I say the biggest mistake parents make is they don't listen to their kids. We don't listen to our kids. Why? Well, because we get distracted by what we call the important adult world. And so here we are lost in our own stress and pressures of all our job, you know, the retirement plan, our work, our boss, the car, the mortgage. And we think that's the important stuff. And we tend to ignore our kids until they misbehave. And then we've got a lot to teach them. Like, you should listen when I say this. And, you know, so the temptation and the tendency is for us to miss the most significant vocation we have as parents, and that is in the formation of our children. That the reason we have a mortgage is to provide a home for our kids. The reason we're going to work is to take care of them. And as if we're moms, you know, what are we working for? Just to feed and clothe our kids? That's not really the extent of parenting. Parenting is to transform our kids as they're shaped in love and they become, you know, saints. And it's very simple. It's we think we're too busy just to do the simple act of, before we correct our child, just connect with him. Because you're going to notice he threw the shoes where they don't belong, and he didn't pick up his backpack again, and he's not listening to me. well, instead of stopping ourselves and saying, how was your day? You seem kind of tired. You want a hug? Tell me what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then say, where do your shoes go? Where does the backpack go?
Oh, boy.
The job of the parent is to communicate that type of love for a child rather than the most important thing is you don't get the floor dirty, you don't break any lamps, mm-hmm. and you're not loud.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's tough at times. I think it's tough, too, for parents because, as you've said, they're in this rush of information, rush of life, rush of providing. That they don't take a step back and say, okay, really, what is important here? What is actually going on? And that's where society, in my opinion, is going wrong. I think we're abandoning our families. We're abandoning our families. How about a quick tip? Can you give us a quick tip about parenting?
Well, the quick tip is, even in this little conversation we have, I'm realizing, yeah, I should pay more attention to my kids. You know, it's easy to, when you start paying attention to parenting, one of the first things that comes up is, you know, I'm missing the boat a lot. Mm-hmm. The quick tip is we got to pay attention to parenting on a regular basis because we always need the reminders. I wrote the book and I get distracted by, you know, quit bothering me. I'm trying to write a book about parenting. You notice that doesn't make any sense. The tip is it's okay. We got to embrace the fact that we screw up. We just got to get back on it, back on it again.
Never give up. Keep going.
Keep going and just get back on and take response. You're right. I shouldn't snap. Mm-hmm. Constant reminders are good because we need them because they're constant distractions. This is not some book about some ideal family that we should be all like. No, this is a book about how God is working in just the messy and the broken and the stressful and the chaotic. And this isn't a book for people who want to be perfect parents or a book for people who are perfect parents. This is a book just for parents who, you know, want to really open their hearts to how God's working through our imperfections. And as the author, the coolest part is that's my story too. My kids misbehave because they're kids. And sometimes I don't really respond in the best way because I'm not perfected in Christ yet. And the best part is to see if I can say that as the guy writing the book, I can invite parents to say, all right, we're all struggling now. Let's learn to pay attention to our kids. And that's a lot of fun.
Tremendous. Thank you, Philip. Again, the book is Parenting Toward the Kingdom. And we hope and pray that everyone listening will grab a copy of it and sit down, read it, and somehow interact in their families for the betterment to bring us closer, all of us, both children and parents, to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, Father.
And like so many resources, we have that book available through our online bookstore at myocn.net. By the way, that's a wonderful way for you to help us financially. Anytime you purchase anything through our online bookstore, you generate a donation to the ministry. Again, that's myocn.net. And the title of the book by Dr. Mamalakis is Parenting Toward the Kingdom. You're listening to another edition of Come Receive the Light. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology. We're here on a regular basis and look forward to getting your feedback. You can share your thoughts with us, your questions, your comments on the website, again, myocn.net. Join us next week and encourage your friends to listen as well. And in the meantime, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.